The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, world. This is Trish Adora, your Pan-African World Diaspora Champion, and you are listening to John Orlando on the PVDcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVDcast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 296. I hope all is well with you, and I want to thank you for checking out this brand new episode of the PVDcast. I honestly can't believe 296 episodes. I'm very, very close to 300, and I'm proud that I have that many episodes out right now. So looking forward to episode 300. I'm going to try to do something a little more extravagant for that edition. But man, oh man, 296, so close to 300. Time flies, man. Time flies. As a matter of fact, speaking of time flying, let's talk about my guest. My guest first appeared on the PVDcast last November as part of a double episode. It was episode number 261. Where he appeared with comedian Jeff Dwoskin to talk about his podcasting projects. And because of that, he and I have collaborated quite a bit over the last several months. I'm talking about, of course, Gerald Glassford. He is the man behind the Pop Culture Cosmos, and he has quite a few other podcast projects that he's working on. So we're going to talk all about those. And if you've already heard episode 261, you know, we talked a little bit about not only his podcasting projects, but some of his passions, but we're going to dive a little bit deeper this time, all right? And I've been wanting to have Gerald on as I've appeared on the Pop Culture Cosmos, giving my insights, my opinions on various different pro wrestling topics, because Gerald's a big pro wrestling fan, as am I. And I know he's been wanting to come on and talk about some other topics, so I'm very happy to have him on. And, you know, before I get into real quickly, thanking my sponsor again, I just want to take a few moments real quick just to discuss a topic that every podcaster, whether it's Gerald Glassford, whether it's Jeff Dwoskin, whether it's the Three Geeks podcast, whether it's my various projects or whatnot, technology malfunctions can absolutely just mess up your entire conversation. Like the other day, I was recording a conversation with a future guest that was in Boston, Massachusetts. And man, oh man, Dialpad, or it used to be called Uber Conference, and I've used it for years, has always been reliable. But man, a couple days ago, it was anything but reliable. It is very cool, though, that my guest at the end of the recording of our conversation said, "Hey man, if it's not 100% what you want, let me know, we'll re-record." And that's really cool, and I appreciate that so much. I guess the point of this rant is just to get this off my chest. I really don't know if many of you really care about the technology issues that go on with creating a podcast, but they're there. They may not happen every single time, but they're there. And so maybe if anything, if there's a theme to this, is appreciate really good quality podcasts, because a lot of hard work go into them. So there you have it. So let's talk about my sponsor so we can get into my conversation with Gerald. I want to remind you that the PVDcast is sponsored by World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all of your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, back issues, posters, a great pool system, friendly staff. I mean, they got it all. So if you're in the Central Ohio area, stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can also check them out online, wgcomics.com. And they're even on Facebook. Just look for at WG Comics. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with podcaster extraordinaire, Gerald Glassford. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am sitting down this evening all the way from Las Vegas, the man behind the Pop Culture Cosmos, the man behind Lakers Fast Break, the Inside Sports Fantasy Sports Podcast, and a whole bunch of other things, Mr. Gerald Glassford. Gerald, how you doing?
I am doing well. I am inside in air conditioning, so all is well. Once you step outside, that's a different story.
What's the temperature in Las Vegas today?
Right now, high 100, so it's not too bad. You know, it's been toggling right around 110, stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, a couple months ago, it was actually a lot worse. But yeah, right now, it's manageable. We've got Summer League here in town, NBA officials, executives, scouts. I just talked to my good friend, Mr. Rafael Barlow from the Locked On NBA Draft podcast. He's excited to be there right now at the NBA Summer League. So yeah, all is looking well right now in Vegas. I mean, as best as we can under the circumstances, I should say.
Is the COVID situation not so good in Vegas?
Well, Nevada and Clark County houses Las Vegas. That is one of the higher echelons for transmissions and also positive rates on the West Coast. So there's now a mask mandate in place for indoors. So everybody's trying to be as good as they can under the circumstances with wearing their masks, whatnot. But yeah, we're just trying to do what we can and trying to stay healthy and wishing everybody out there the same as well.
You know, it sounds very much like Columbus. Today we had 92 degrees, but with the heat index, with humidity and everything, it was 100 degrees. And we too are not doing so hot when it comes to numbers for the Delta variant and the virus. And we too have a mask advisory, not a mandate, an advisory, meaning it's highly suggested you wear your mask inside. We don't do mandates anymore. That's a long story for another time, maybe. It's more of a more for when we talk politics, I guess, than what we're going to talk about today, which is all kinds of great stuff with pop culture. I'm going to start it off. Why did you start the Pop Culture Cosmos podcast?
Well, I've been podcasting since 2009. I've been doing various things in the podcasting realm relating to the video game scene. And the first podcast that we came up with was called the Game Source Podcast. And it was based off of something that we dealt with, yourgamesource.com, an old website that we had in regards to just covering the latest news and trends in video games. And video games, what's going on, the major events, things of that nature, the games coming out. We did that for several years. And then it just, in the latter years of the podcast, we just started talking about, random pop culture stuff started to bleed in the Marvel Cinematic Universe in the mid-2000s, mid-2010s, I should say, it started to really take off. I mean, that people started to really become interested in these event movies and this event television, like Game of Thrones and things of that nature. So the conversation on various aspects of pop culture started bleeding into the Game Source podcast. And I was going back to school in the mid 2010s, 2014, 2015, 2016, in that area. And I met up with a guy who ended up coming on the show a few times named Josh Peterson. We were actually going to school together via, the internet, as we do now, for National University, went online, one of the first real online universities that really promoted it. So we were both getting our journalism degrees, something I had been planning to do for a long time and just never got around to it. But yeah, we met up there and he started appearing on the show and just said, you know what, this is great. It's fun. I'd like to continue this. I said, I think I want to do more. I think I want to do more and start talking about pop culture as a whole, not just video games all the time, just movies, television, pro wrestling, and just a whole myriad of things that you will cover. Cooking, something every now and then, I was wanting to talk about even from time to time. And I've had guests on the show since then that appeared, especially with their grilling tips. I have Ben Arnault from the Smoking Hot Confessions, who is one of the best grill masters on the planet, talking, he comes on the show, we talk about Marvel, talk about DC, and then end up talking about how you can go ahead and grill the better steak. So those type of things I wanted to go ahead and just expand a show. And in order to do that, we had to revamp and rename and just reclassify the show. So we, you know, with a good friend of ours, award-winning director Rob McCallum, who really helped us with in the think tank in regard to coming up with the name and the concept and the logo, we came together and it talked about Pop Culture Cosmos, and it just came to be. But I wanted to do more than just a podcast, and I wanted to go ahead and present this to a larger audience and a broader audience and come at a little bit different angle. So I know that at the first point when I got into doing this in 2016, in regards to Pop Culture Cosmos, but I started pitching out to radio stations, and radio stations at first kind of gave me the cold shoulder, but online and internet radio stations really embraced the show with open arms, and we're really happy about where it's going. And right now we're up to 53, 54. I lose track sometimes on radio stations, but we're up to 50, over 50 radio stations right now as far as a distribution on a weekly basis. So we're truly thankful on that. I mean, our shows get played every single day of the week, and cannot thank everybody enough. And so it's not just you can listen to a podcast form, but you can check out your favorite internet radio station, and we might be there. So that's how it's come to be. Almost 5 years now as we talk to you. In fact, later this month it will be. We're excited for celebrating 5 years, and just, you know, the world of pop culture, the universe, the multiverse, as I say on our Friday show, it's just so broad. It's just so vast. And it's just such an escape and an enjoyable one for all of us when we go ahead and delve into it. Whether, like you and I, when we talk for an hour on an upcoming episode I'm going to drop with you and I talking nothing but pro wrestling on the state of pro wrestling. Or I can talk to somebody, you know, have a guest on like Liz Priestley, who is on the very, very lauded and very celebrated Concrete Cowboys, which is currently Variety's number one movie of 2021 with Idris Elba, who is having a tremendous year. So we got a chance to meet her and interview her on the show. And I mean, to have conversations in 1 week regards what's going on with the world of streaming, because as you and I know, in the past 3 years, not even 5 years, past 3 years, the world of streaming has skyrocketed off the back of Netflix, and now you have Disney Plus, HBO Max, and Peacock, and so many other streaming outlets that are there. They're just so dependent on that for, you know, with all these large companies now are just so become so dependent on what the future of streaming is. So we talk about that, and it's just such great conversations now, so broad, and I'm just thankful that we're able to do it at the Pop Culture Cosmos.
Now, you do have kind of a format for your episodes of the week. You have an episode on Monday and an episode on Friday. Would you like to tell the listeners what they could expect if they tuned in on Monday or Friday?
Yeah, absolutely. Because our shows, like I said, even though they get replayed by radio stations anytime that they want, and I try to post schedules, but it's so hard to because they always change it. I do know that our shows are replayed by radio stations somewhere in the world 7 days a week. But the original shows that we drop that you can catch first run are on the podcast channels, outlets that are, you know, wherever you get your podcasts, just by typing in Pop Culture Cosmos. Every Monday and Friday, they're an hour long, they're family friendly, and basically what it comes down to is we will cover whatever is trending in pop culture that time. New Marvel stuff that's out, like What If, at the time we're speaking, we're going to talk about it. New movie that's coming out, like Free Guy, we're going to talk about it. Something happening in the world as far as maybe in Hollywood that we need to talk about, like the lawsuit with Scarlett Johansson versus Disney, we're going to talk about it. If there's something going on in the streaming realm, we're going to talk about it. Broadcast television and cable television, the future and where it lies, I'm going to be talking about that in upcoming shows as well. So anything that's trending in pop culture, the latest video games, Gamescom is coming up later this month. We're going to be talking about what's the future for video games this year and the marketplace. We're going to be talking about that as well. So anything that pops up in pop culture from that standpoint, I'm waiting to bring you back on so we can talk more pro wrestling, because Rampage is around the corner for AEW. How viable a contender is AEW? That seems to weigh in differently by the month. Sometimes it's better, sometimes it's not. Sometimes the audience itself is very up and down right now in the marketplace, and there's still no one individual that people are willing to get behind and spend money and watch, you know, exclusively. So these are the things that we can talk about at any point in time, or if, you know, SummerSlam, and then it goes into Royal Rumble, and, you know, the whole nine yards of the WWE. So those things trend as well. So yeah, we will cover the latest news and trends of pop culture right there at the Pop Culture Cosmos every Monday and Friday, if you want to go ahead and listen to it in this podcast form.
All right, let's talk about you a little bit. That's me? Right. You, Gerald. Let's talk about you.
I'm not anyone. I'm nobody.
Well, you grew up in Southern California, correct?
That is correct. I was born as a reason why people say, oh, why do you host the Lakers Fast Break? I said, well, I was originally born in Inglewood, California, which was a block away from the old place, the old stomping grounds for the Los Angeles Lakers, the Los Angeles Forum. They say, really, were you? I said, yes. I was born at the hospital, right about two blocks away from the Forum, right there near a Sizzlers, right there near a gas station, and right across the street from a cemetery. So if you died at the hospital, you could go literally right across the street. So, you know, that's how people just knew, you know, you got to know Inglewood and that area as far as that area of town and understand that. But yeah, I mainly lived in the beach areas like Torrance and Redondo Beach areas, you know, for most of my time there. I spent 25 years there, and I do miss it from time to time. I do miss the weather. I do miss the climate. I do miss the beach, but, you know, Vegas has treated me well, and I can't complain.
May I ask why you ended up in Vegas?
Well, I was working in the film industry at the time in special effects, and the jobs just they don't stay. They don't stay there. So, you know, if you don't have business, if you don't have jobs as far as movie outlets, that you get laid off pretty easily in that environment. And my desire and my to want to work in front of the camera, I just seemed like it was getting farther and farther away from me. And so my wife at that time, my first wife and I, she really wanted to go ahead and have a different location. So, and it seemed like it was so much cheaper. And I'll tell you what, it was so much cheaper to live out here in Vegas. So we moved at that time, you know, because even now these days, even though the prices have gone up everywhere, it's still even relatively cheaper to live here than in SoCal, even though, again, SoCal always in my heart. But dude, I'm telling you, man, when we came up here in 95, it's so funny. You could go to the local gas station. You could go for 99 cents, get two hot dogs, chips, and a large drink. And then you go at night, you would go, what, you go downtown, you can get yourself a steak for $2.99, big thick steak. You could go also overnight or in the morning, you get yourself your breakfast for 99 cents or less, sometimes even 77 cents. And I'm not kidding you, people. These were the golden days. I mean, this was, you know, during the first mass explosion of people moving up to Las Vegas, and it was still a fun time at that time. Houses were cheap and, you know, inexpensive. So at that point in time, can't say that now, but that's the reason why. I mean, you know, you have to live in when you come out here with the dry heat and 110, 115, 120 heat, degree heat at times. And that's just something you have to live with. But, you know, a lot of people that move here, the jobs in the industry with the tourism, I mean, when tourism goes up, people move here and they want to stay here. When it goes down, they leave. It's just that simple.
Okay. Well, growing up as a kid, what were your favorite pop culture media? When you're talking about TV or movies or comic books or sports or whatever, what was your favorite pop culture thing or favorites, I should say?
That's a good question. I love sitting in front of the TV after I come home from school and watch the afternoon cartoons. I mean, you know, even though I watched all the He-Mans that was growing up, I mean, it's something that you have to go ahead and I do as a laugh. But yes, I knew all the afternoon cartoons and something when you saw just from Looney Tunes on up, Hanna-Barbera, you name it, I probably watched it. I loved going to the arcades. I cannot tell you how much I would enjoy going to either the arcade at the mall, the Del Amo Mall, back when it was one of the largest in the world, or just even riding my bike down the street and hitting up the old liquor store, as we used to call them back in the day, liquor store. Now they're called convenience store, where you still get liquor, but you pop into the liquor store per se. And that time, there was this one place, a red liquor store, and it had you popped in right there was a WWF. And I have to say WWF because that's what it was that time, wrestling. and it was the first real WWF licensed arcade game, and that was just a blast to
play. Wait, that was called WrestleFest, isn't it?
No, it was before WrestleFest. It's the one before WrestleFest. I like that one better. It's a little cleaner, but they're both. It's like you're quibbling over between that one and WrestleFest because they're both so outstanding. This one, the WWF wrestling one, that one, WWF Superstars, that one had Randy Savage, Andre the Giant, Ted DiBiase. Yeah, that one had those individuals. Hulk Hogan, of course. Yeah,
okay, yeah.
But
yeah,
Big
yeah,
Boss yeah. Man. And the, yeah. I love the smooth animation on that. WrestleFest, I actually still played a ton of. I think that's like, it's like a, you can't go wrong with either one. So,
no.
Going to the arcades, that was a great thing, mine. And then pop culture wise, I watched my share of movies, but you know, back then it was like it was a real event. You go and you wait the 2 hours in line before you get your ticket and you go in. I mean, there's these days you can just walk into a theater at any point in time and you're golden, or wait until it comes out on streaming, or same day streaming as it gets released in the theaters. Back then you would wait literally hours and hours and day. In fact, the first time I really got hooked on Star Wars was the first day of Empire Strikes Back. And I had watched, I'd never watched it in the original Star Wars in the theaters. 1977, my parents weren't really into it, and I was only 8, so I was like, okay, whatever. I watched it on CBS, I think, just before Empire Strikes Back came out in 1980. And I watched the Star Wars on CBS. I thought it was really good. It was okay. I really enjoyed it. But I really didn't get into it until the morning of The Empire Strikes Back. And it comes on. It's out there. It's being released. I didn't really know anything about it. But at 3 o'clock in the morning, my brother-in-law at that time grabs me. Not literally grabs, but he had surprised, he was told my parents about this, and that surprised me, and gets me up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go down to the local theater where we wait in line for the first showing on the first day of The Empire Strikes Back.
Wow.
And that was so cool, because literally we go there, and by the time I left that or later that afternoon, the line was literally over a mile long. And I don't mean, and I'm not trying to go back into fantasy and tell you, okay, like every wrestler tells you they sold out every building. This was literally a mile long. People were waiting 7, 8, 10 hours to get into a theater to see this film at that time, because it was event filming. And we saw the first one on the first day, and we go in there, and I'm right in the middle of the theater because we were one of the first to get there. And I'm sitting there and watching on this as a 11-year-old kid, and I'm just entrenched. It gets really good, and then the twist comes. And I think I can go into spoilers. It's about Darth Vader. So you know,
if you don't know this by now,
yeah, what if you don't know by seriously. Now, okay. You know, there he talks a little bit about, you know, the father-son deal. So when he announced that, people in that theater were just screaming, no, 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 at the top of their voice. People were getting up and just so animated. People were crying. People were literally sobbing in the middle of the aisles. And I'm going around this, looking around, right around as an 11-year-old kid, I'm going, oh my God, this is what Star Wars is all about. And that's when I got the hook right there in pop culture, really. I probably have to say that. That's the point where, you know, pop culture in me really started to click.
That's amazing. You get to see it on the, I was sitting here thinking, I saw Star Wars at the drive-in theater as a kid, but I don't remember it. I just remember going. I don't really remember the movie.
I remember seeing the lines in the news and all that, thinking, okay, but I didn't get to see it until a couple years later because my parents weren't really into it at that point in time.
Right, right.
So, yeah, I saw it on, I think, CBS, if I remember correctly. They showed it a couple years later and on the TV, because there wasn't really videotape at that time, you know, to rental and all that. So 79, I think I saw it, and then I remember seeing it. I was like, oh, it's good, but I didn't get hooked right away. It wasn't until I experienced it in a theater format, and this audience just overwhelmed me, and I just like, now I get it. Now I do.
That's a great story, Gerald. Well, let's talk about your other podcast. Let's talk about Lakers Fast Break. Obviously, growing up in Southern California, right there by the LA Forum, that it's self-explanatory why you're a fan. But yes. Give us a little history about Lakers Fast Break.
Well, this one came about, I mean, I've always talked about being a fan. As you can see behind me, if you're watching on the Zoom and all that, you can see all the jerseys behind me. The Lakers have always been a part of my life. I mean, some of my earliest memories are watching the local station and the theme music comes on, you know, for KCAL 9, and coming on there and watching the Lakers game with Chick Hearn and reporting the games and you know, watching the team in its early days. I actually watched before they started winning their championships in the 80s. And I mean, those are some of my earliest memories that I have. And, you know, just seeing how successful the team was, it gets you hooked. But getting into podcasting is something that I had touched on a little bit on the Pop Culture Cosmos. I did a little bit of sports stuff on the Pop Culture Cosmos from time to time. And one of the things I did was NBA draft stuff. You know, I reached out to Rafael Barlow, who I spoke of earlier, talked about that. And then also I just did stuff in regards to who might be the favorites for the NBA each and every year when I want to run out to, but nothing too elaborate. And I didn't overload the Cosmos with it, but I wanted to do something more. So I went out and said, you know what? I'm going to start my own show. And a lot of it's going to touch on the Lakers because I know the Lakers community, it's vast, it's large, and it's opinionated. And I thought it would find a lot of voices out there that have opinions on it. And I was very surprised. Even me that knows that there are voices around the world that love the Lakers. And I was just so surprised to see how many that I could connect with. And I'm really glad I did because it's 300 plus episodes in right now. And you know, we have great conversations with Laker fans and Laker experts, but also we touch on the NBA as well. I mean, I love the episodes where I can sit and talk to people that know the NBA. And we talk about the various aspects of what's going on, plus the NBA draft as well. That's something I really am focused on. And I do actually write about that on my popculturecosmos.com site quite a bit. So, yeah, just really came together and I look forward to it. I mean, with the Los Angeles Lakers, they're always making news one way or the other. As the Yankees, as the, you know, the top Dallas Cowboys, you know, these top franchises are always making news one way or another for good or for bad. So there's always something to talk about. And we definitely do that several, you know, sometimes up to several times a week with the Lakers Fast Break podcast.
Do you have a favorite Lakers team?
That's a good question. I would probably say, you know, as much as I love the ones from the 80s and I love the early 2000s and even late 2000s one, I want to say last year. I want to say the one that they won in the bubble. And the reason why is because I got to enjoy it with my daughter. To me, that's something really special. My older daughter, I've got an older and younger daughter, but there's an older daughter that's really into basketball. And the last time she was able to go ahead and celebrate that, she doesn't even remember because it was 2010 and she was 5. So she really didn't get a chance to really get into it. But this past bubble season and just after going what you went through with COVID and what we all went through with COVID and dealing with that and seeing how the NBA handled it with the bubble and it taking a mental toll on the entire NBA that was there. And it just, to me, it was just so great. I got to enjoy it with my daughter and just seeing the ultimate outcome of what happened. And I know that there are people a lot of say this and that about the, you know, being the bubble and give it asterisks and you can say what you want, but I really thought it was such a mental grind and so mentally draining for the entire league, and just glad I got to see that pay off with a world championship victory, and so glad I got to experience it with my daughter.
Let's talk about the Inside Sports Fantasy Sports podcast that you are part of. So what's that all about?
Well, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, we cover what's going on in the world of football. We just dropped our season 3. First episode, myself and Jason Dutch, who is the host or one of the three hosts of Dig on America, a great political podcast if people want to check it out, very opinionated. So that's Dig on America. He and I actually went over last night some of the things and strategies that we use and some of the players that we're looking at and how this is going to be a very unique year. But yeah, that's basically what we're going to be doing each and every week. Once a week, we're going to be dropping it on its own channel, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, and also on the Pop Culture Cosmos channel, where we just talk about what's going on in fantasy football, the latest game action, who are injuries, and how that's going to affect your fantasy team. We answer your questions. And that, to me, is the best part about it. It was when people come and ask you, either it's live or they email you, and they ask you about starting lineups. They ask you about, you know, making changes. Should I pick up this guy? Should I take this trade? Those are things that we love to answer on the show, but also as well give you the kind of strategies that we hope will get you far in your league and maybe even to a victory or a championship.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Gerald for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. As you know, they are a fantastic sponsor of the PVD cast, and I'd love for you to check out the store, whether in person or online. If you choose to do so in person, just head on over to 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, or if you're outside the Central Ohio area, you can check them out online. Go over to their website, wgcomics.com, or check out their Facebook page at WG Comics, and you'll see that they are a world-class comic book store, and please let them know that you heard about the store from me right here on the PVD cast. We're going to switch gears into a topic I don't think we discussed last time you were on the PVD cast, which was November, episode 261. And we didn't really touch base on video games. And actually, there's a reason for that, and we'll get to that reason in a minute. Okay. But I'm going to ask you, what are some of your favorite video games?
Oh, well, you can see again above my head, some of it is displayed there. I mean, I've always been a gamer. Back when my dad gave me, you know, my sister a Pong, you know, because I'm that old. Yes, a Pong system. And then, of course, really kicked in for me with Atari. I also got a ColecoVision, a Commodore Amiga, I went to Nintendo 64. And then, you know, in the early 2000s, I really started to get into the OG Xbox, and then a PlayStation 3 and Xbox. You know, so my history goes back decades with video games. And I already mentioned my Game Source roots as far as it's concerned, reporting on everything there and how I got started in podcasting was through my video games. I even actually, as I say on the show, Pop Culture Cosmos, I actually used to run video game stores, which was one of the best jobs I've ever had, just because it was so fun that you could just sit there and talk and get paid for talking video games all day long, which is incredibly grateful for me for my time. I am for the time I spent doing that, because to do that and get a nice salary was just a truly exceptional experience. But be that as it may, some of my favorite games, in fact, a lot of it came out of the best year in gaming, 2007. To me, I mean, I have had this conversation. In fact, I argued with Rob McCallum with this all the time. But 2007, to me, is a clear choice for the best year in gaming. And some of that is represented behind me with probably one of the best games that I've ever seen come out there is the Mass Effect trilogy. I mean, I know Mass Effect 3 is, some people have issue with the ending, whatnot, but Mass Effect and Mass Effect 2 were just truly an incredible experience for me. The Uncharted series, and I know you can barely see it, or no, actually that's Mass Effect behind that. But I also got a Uncharted 3 standee, Uncharted 3 to me, and Uncharted 2 as well, two of the most outstanding narrative games that I've ever played. And then, you know, it also goes back to some of the most great, you know, great experiences for me as far as playing Doom. You know, if working in special effects companies, and when it had downtime, we would interlink on Doom on these huge $10,000 SGI computers that were supposed to be doing something else, and they were, but they also on the side we were playing Doom and linking with me and other video game graphic artists and things of that nature that were working there. And so that was always fun. But yeah, just to me, it's just always about a great narrative. I do play multiplayer games. I played Halo 2 2 years straight, so I enjoyed that. But to me, the best games are narrative-driven games. And as someone who's played Oblivion for over 150 hours, I've played Mass Effect. In fact, I have the you know, new latest edition of Mass Effect and the Legendary Edition right here that I'm trying to go through again to relive that awesome experience. It's just, to me, some of the great stuff that's out there. But yeah, Mass Effect series, Uncharted series. I really cannot say enough about those games. But yeah, even today, I mean, there's some great stuff that's coming out. I mean, Back for Blood, I got a chance to go ahead and try the beta for that. That's okay. I've got some issues with that. But, you know, when you go, the future of video games is bright. It's just going to take some time to catch up because of what's going on with COVID. But I'm always looking forward for the latest games as far as it's concerned as well.
Okay, so folks at home, I asked Gerald to do a little homework, if you will, before we sat down here, because I'm not a big video gamer. Okay. I as a kid had an Atari 2600. As a college kid, I had a Sega Genesis because I wanted some NHL 97. You know, I had an N64 because I'm a wrestling mark and I wanted WrestleMania 2000 in the ECW game.
What about the NWO versus WCW Revenge?
That one too. Yes, that one as well. But I haven't really, you know, since N64, really haven't dived into the video game world. So if you were going to suggest a video game for me, or video games, it could be plural, what do you think would be a good fit for me if I was going to jump back into it?
Well, I would have to ask you, first off, are you into multiplayer or are you into a single-player driven game? Something as far as immersing yourself there, or are you a competitive guy that likes to go ahead and get yourself interact with that?
Single player. I'm not super competitive. So.
Okay.
Does it help if I say that the last Xbox game I played was Lego Avengers?
It does, but that's, you know... I mean, you could even say that Marvel's Avengers that came out last year, they've built on that. They've made that a more structurally sound than what it was originally. So if you're into Marvel's Avengers, you could go ahead and get that on your Xbox One, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, or Xbox Series S or X. But for me, you know, if you said that if you were more of a space fan, I'd say I'd love for you to get into the Mass Effect Legendary Edition, which came out a remastered version of all three Mass Effects. You've got 100+ hours right here if you want to go ahead and delve into that. If you want to become the centerpiece for a space opera that unlike anything else created in video gaming. I know I just said Uncharted earlier, but if you ever were into action adventure genre and you felt like you wanted to become that treasure hunter, that have that Raiders of the Lost Ark type feel, I'd say go ahead and get the entire Uncharted series. You know, they have the Uncharted trilogy, which you can get really cheap, and then get Uncharted 4 on top of it, which you can also get pretty cheap. So you can have, you know, 80 hours of gaming right there as well. But, you know, if you wanted to go ahead and go back to the medieval times, I would say you see Oblivion right above me. The actual successor to it is probably a little bit easier to get and more modern, and that's Skyrim. For Elder Scrolls Skyrim, and there's 100+ hours there for you as well to delve into that. So, yeah, those are all single-player narrative games that I think you could really dive into. You could really immerse yourself and really find that escape I think that you would be looking for.
All right. I jotted that down, so we'll see. We'll put it on the to-do list.
Yes. That's the great thing though about video games. Whatever type of genre you're looking for, let's say looking for a driving game, there's a ton of driving games. Looking for sports games, obviously there's a ton of sports games out there relating to every single sport, whether it's FIFA, whether it's NBA, whether it's pro wrestling. I mean, the pro wrestling games, that is something in recent years has really struggled, but with some independent games that are coming out or have come out this year, plus hopefully a revamped WWE 2K22, which I'm hoping they'll learn from their past mistakes. Hopefully the future is looking better for wrestling games as well.
Well, since we're talking about wrestling, let's go ahead and transition into it. You are a huge wrestling fan. Would you like to tell the listeners, how did that fandom start?
My earliest memories, and get this, okay, again, since I'm old, I'm 52. I'm not ashamed to say my age. I'm nearing, you know, or actually I just passed my IQ of 52. So there's a joke, everyone out there. But my earliest memories of wrestling I know a lot of people when they talk to you about, hey, John, this is my past in pro wrestling. I used to watch it on the Saturday TV, and then they'll tell you that stuff. Actually, my earliest memories of pro wrestling were of the LA Olympic Auditorium, which I believe is still standing. I believe it's used for other things now, but it's still there. And back then, though, in the late 70s, it was all about wrestling on a weekly basis. I know back then you're talking about Roddy Piper, the Guerreros. You're talking about a lot of individuals coming from the Northwest down there. And also, you know, you had a lot of stars come through there. But every now and then you had big tickets, really big tickets coming in to do a show. One of them was Andre the Giant. And the one that my dad took me to, I remember, and it's still clear to me, was Andre the Giant in a battle royal. He would come and do a battle royal. He did this almost in every town. He would come, do a battle royal. He'd win the battle royal, and everybody said, you know, that's okay. Everybody would be happy by the end of the day. He would win the supposed 50, you know, or 60 or $100,000, you know, that was supposedly on the line in these battle royals. But because he was so huge, there's no way they're going to, but everybody loved him, so that, you know, there's no way they're going to throw him out anyways. But yeah, my watching as a, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 year old kid at that point in time and seeing him, I was close enough to see him, just how big he was. And that got me started into it. And then in the 80s, I really got it involved into watching on the Saturday mornings with, you know, obviously right around the time that wrestling became popular in 83 and 84, started to get into that. But there was an channel based out of Orange County, KDOC Channel 56. It's actually, you know, on the back when you had to deal with UHF and VHF.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So UHF, what it did, you know, there was this one station and their Saturday block was just wrestling from all over the country, whether it was World Class, whether it was Mid-South. It was just about 4 or 5 hours worth of wrestling. And that's once I found that, that really got me hooked in, because, you know, the WWF wrestling, you can, you know, at that point in time, it was the cartoonish way, you know, 83, 84 started with the Hulk Hogan win over the Iron Sheik. And I never really was in love with the red and yellow of Hulk Hogan. I really rooted for the bad guys. You know, I am that guy that was at that time. I really enjoyed Roddy Piper. In fact, I still have a Hot Rod t-shirt somewhere in the house. Yeah. So to me, it was about, you know, storylines, and I could tell early on. I want to say I'm a smart mark, but I'm smart enough to know I'm not really that smart when it comes to wrestling, because I've never been behind the curtain. As I've talked before with you, we've never been behind a booker's meeting or behind a curtain, so I only know so much. But I could tell early on in television that this, you know, it was orchestrated and coordinated, because the fact that you can clearly see certain things in certain matches. But that didn't draw away from me the fact that there was always a good telling of good versus evil, or a good storyline would get you in, or a good match would get you hooked in. So that would be, that's really when I started. It was like, and even though that I was even seeing wrestling in some fashion before 1980, I really started getting hooked in like everybody else in those early 80s that you'll probably speak out there too. That's around my age anyways, that they probably, you know, I did see it on those Saturday mornings, but mainly those Saturday night televisions and the Channel 56 block that I really was enjoying every single week.
You know what? Two things that rings true to me. One, also growing up, there was a television station in Pittsburgh, UHF channel, did the same thing. They had wrestling on through.
Well, it wasn't cheap a block. Programming.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't a block, but it was on like at 10 a.m., noon, 2 o'clock, yeah. 4 o'clock, 10 p.m. It was, yeah, and it was the same scenario. As a matter of fact, the best thing that ever happened to me as a wrestling fan was when my family got a VCR. Because my parents were old school. You know, on a Saturday, you're not sitting in front of this TV all day. Get outside. It's nice. Yeah. Go ride your bike. But mom, get out. You know, and so after the VCR, okay, mom, I'll do it, because I'll set the VCR and I won't miss WWF Superstars of Wrestling because I'm taping it now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I remember using it because I used to tape trade, or I used to go to back in the later 80s when I first started reading the Wrestling Observer after I saw Dave Meltzer's work in the National. I don't know if you remember the National, which was the original 1980s Sports Daily, which was out for a hiccup. And that's the first time I got exposed to stuff behind the scenes. And Dave Meltzer had an article in there. And that's when I really started to get into, okay, I want to find out more. So I started reading the Wrestling Observer. Then I heard about all these great matches. So I went to the local Japanese stores and they would have all these videos from All Japan, New Japan, and things of that nature. And that's how I started really getting into as far as that end of it and seeing, you know, how well work rate was and seeing all these great 30, 40, 50 minute matches and just understanding more about what pro wrestling was really all about.
Yeah. And the second thing I was going to follow up with, I too, as a kid, I knew something was up with wrestling. I knew, but I didn't know how. Like, yeah. I knew a dude cannot get waffled in the head with a chair and be back the next week. Like, as a kid, exactly. I was like, that doesn't make sense. But I didn't know. It was the magician trick. I know we yeah. use that term a lot when we talk about wrestling, but that's what it was. It truly was. I don't know how that happened, but it happened. And that's cool. And you know what I mean? Like, and then you, much like you, I want to know, how does this work?
Well, you know what to me, or what at that time for probably both you and I, what exposes the business the most is a bad worker. And guys really that didn't care or didn't put enough energy into it or to try to make it believable. I mean, you could see them. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to sell something that didn't even come close to me. I'm going to sell a punch or a slap or a kick that was like 15 feet away from me, but I'm still going to sell it. I mean, that to me is just like, it's so phony. It's so phony. And it was like, okay, I started to then say, you know what? This is more than meets the eye. So,
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite wrestling event that you attended? Would that, you know, with that auditorium, the very first time going to the LA Auditorium be it? Or do you have some others that you would fondly recommend?
The Olympic Auditorium one was probably, like I said, you know, most special. That's the second most special. The first most special for me was the Anaheim Pond WrestleMania. And the reason was because I did go with my dad, but I couldn't really enjoy it. And I've actually watched it back on videotape at the time, because that's when I first found, for me, and this is something personal, that's the first time I really found out what smoking did to my father, because we had an upper level seat and we declined to go ahead and take the elevator. And in not doing so, just seeing him out of breath for almost the entire card was truly, for me, distressing. I spend most of my time looking and caring for my dad. And later on, unfortunately, his years of smoking caught up with him and it would end his life. But, like I said, I miss him every day, and I cannot thank him for everything he did for me. But yeah, I've gone back and rewatched it. So it does mean something there to me. I've also been to WrestleMania here in Las Vegas, which, you know, I think it's probably considered one of the worst WrestleMania, but with good reason. But I think that for me, those are the special times. I've been to a few cards here and there over the years, but really for me, those are the special moments. I think for me, it's just about watching a great match. I think right. for me, right. you know, going and do you have, I'm going to ask you this. If you had a favorite match, I'm going to go ahead and share mine in a second. I'm asking you a question. If you okay. had one favorite match, if you went on, got trapped on an island and you were given the tape to one match, what would that be?
Steamboat, Savage, WrestleMania 3.
Really? They're very good match. Excellent match.
That's probably my favorite of all time.
Mine is funny because in a year, 1989, where Rick Steamboat and Ric Flair got all the headlines for their massive trilogy that they did, which was truly outstanding. And all three are a sensational five-star bouts. The best match encompassing the – okay, if somebody wants to know what pro wrestling is all about, talking about psychology, talking about brawling, talking about technique in the ring, talking about just true competitors going at it, and coming out with a surprise, one of those rare occurrences where an outcome comes that I – didn't even think was going to happen. So I really thought it was going to be a finish where somebody comes in for DQ like Gary Hart or whatnot and his crew. It was Terry Funk versus Ric Flair, New York Knockout in Troy, New York in an I Quit match. And I thought there was no way that either of these guys were going to say I quit. I thought it was just going to be the schmoz DQ finish like you've seen 100,000 times. And for Terry Funk, for them to go out, because there was hatred after, you know, the trilogy of Rick Steamboat matches, and Terry Funk laid out Ric Flair with a pile driver. He was out for a little while and then he came back, and to have this match and the intensity between both those two, the psychology that was used, the brawling that was used on the outside, but the technique used on the inside, and the sheer emotions, because it was one of those first times I've ever seen an I Quit match where they brought the mic to the individual and said, do you quit? And you would have to actually hear it. The people out there would have to actually hear the words I quit. And I thought the match was going to go a certain way. And one of the few times I was wrong, I was dead wrong. And I actually heard Terry Funk, who was a two-time world champion already. I just heard him say, I quit. And I couldn't believe that he was doing the job on that. And to hear that was just, I blew my mind. And this, you know, just the incredible back and forth between those two. For me, that's the one match I would say I would probably want to keep.
So who are some of your favorites in the world of wrestling?
Well, Terry Funk and Ric Flair, that's a great start. But I'd probably say Cactus Jack and Abdullah the Butcher, Bruiser Brody. Okay. Bruiser Brody and Abdullah the Butcher probably had the greatest feud nobody ever remembers, but it's probably the most influential, or probably the most, as far as hardcore action. But also, there aren't too many more feuds that encompass countries around the world, multiple countries around the world, from Canada to Puerto Rico to the United States to Japan to all over, which where those two wrestled each other for that period of time, and to spill as much blood as they did on each other. It was just truly outstanding to watch. So I probably have to put those two today for me. I mean, we've talked about it before on our interviews that we have done on the Pop Culture Cosmos. I mean, let's go Ricochet, Asuka. Those are two tremendous individuals. Hashtag please stop burying Asuka. Where is Asuka? Hashtag where is Asuka? She's not even on TV right now, which I think is atrocious, but that's another story altogether. But yeah, I mean, MJF, we've talked about how well he looks. He looks like he could be the future of this, I don't want to say sport, but sports entertainment, whatever you want to call it. If it's done right, whether it's AEW or WWE, whatever his future is calling, I think he could be the future of it. But those are probably the individuals I look at the most. But I'm a fan of good matches at this point in time, because I really think that there's no one individual right now that really people can get behind. And I think that's probably why we're at the state we're in right now.
Agreed. All right. Well, Gerald, we're almost out of time here, so let's wrap some things up. Tell folks where they can find you online. Where can they listen to Lakers Fast Break, Inside Sports, PCC, all that great jazz?
Are you sure we can't talk more? I mean, we can fill up another hour or 2 hours.
Let's go ahead. Let's break kayfabe.
Yeah, exactly.
We are going to fill up another hour, but that's going to be for the PCC.
Yeah, exactly. So, I still got that on cam, and I'm actually going to air that. I gave that a date. So if you want to listen to our conversation on the state of pro wrestling, I'm going to give everybody a heads up. That's on airing on the week of September 6th. So I've got that all set up and queued. So it's all ready to go, our conversation on that. So I'm looking forward to airing that conversation. But John's going to come back on the show again, even if I have to drag him. But as I always tell
him, I'm willing. Okay.
Because the red carpet's always open on my end, because he's just, John's everybody out there, you do not know how cooperative and how great of an individual guest this guy is.
Man, thank you.
But yeah, he just, the fact that he gets good numbers on our show, that doesn't hurt either. But I digress. But I do want to say that if you want to go ahead and check out anything I do in advance, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to do so. I know you've got 10 million podcasts seemingly out there with a whole bunch of people that are doing a whole bunch of things that in some cases are being financed and pushed much more so than a lot of us here. Please support independent podcasting when you can. But for me, Pop Culture Cosmos, if you type that in, that's going to bring up everything right there for you. If you want to follow the latest news and trends in pop culture, just go ahead, Pop Culture Cosmos on Facebook. But yeah, I mean, every show that we do drops Monday and Friday, wherever you get your podcasts. Just type in Pop Culture Cosmos and our Monday and Friday shows pop right up. If you're interested in the Lakers and the NBA, again, I covered the Lakers, the NBA, and the NBA draft. I have interesting guests that come on all the time. And plus I do, when we have during the season, we've been fortunate enough to be scheduling right after the games conversations there as well. So if you can, give the Lakers Fast Break podcast a try. And then, as I said earlier, my friend, Inside Sports Fantasy Football just dropped season 3. So we just started with season 3. So if you want to type in Inside Sports Fantasy Football, or if you want to just go to Pop Culture Cosmos, we're putting them on both channels now to get a little bit more exposure there. And we're really happy with what that's doing, because it's just fun. It's fun to talk about fantasy football from time to time. We don't get too over the top on it, but we try to give you strategies that help you win. So if you want to check out Inside Sports Fantasy Football, the Pop Culture Cosmos, or the Lakers Fast Break, I would be indebted to you for doing so.
All right. With that then, ladies and gentlemen, Gerald, thank you very much for coming on. It's always a blast.
It's my honor, my friend. I remember last time, you know, he was like there. Okay. You had, I think you had Jeff Dwoskin as the doubleheader with me. Yes. And yes. I was like, yes, Jeff, so great. And then me, oh, not so great. I was like, oh my gosh.
That's not true.
All right. All right. But no, I appreciate being on it. And anytime you want me back, you know, you got it, my friend. Always.
All right. You got it. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Gerald Glassford, talking about the Pop Culture Cosmos, Lakers Fast Break podcast, and all of his other projects that he's involved in. I always truly do appreciate coming on Gerald's show to talk about pro wrestling topics. And thank you very much, Gerald, for taking some time to come on over here to the PVD cast and share some of your insights, some of your anecdotes and whatnot. So at this point, I need to let you know where you can get in touch with me. You can reach out and contact me through my email address. It's johnorlando@pvdcast.com. Or you can leave me a message on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just look for @PVDcast. And I have my own personal Twitter handle, which is @PVDNVP. And if you need to let some folks know where they can listen to the PVDcast, there's a couple different avenues for that. Obviously, PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly, is a great place to get every episode. But it's also available through all of those other major podcasting outlets. You know, like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, iHeart Radio Network. Basically, go to your favorite podcasting outlet, go into the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And as always, when you listen to an episode, please rate, review, and subscribe. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and subscribing means you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. And I need to let you know, too, that I still do live Facebook broadcasts every Monday night through the Facebook page. Once again, that's @PVDcast, where I play this week's episode. People send me comments, questions, or whatnot. I interact with you a little bit. It's a blast. You definitely need to check it out as well. And it's, you know, it's pretty easy. Just go to Facebook.com, search for the PVDcast, and listen away Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Want to throw out a quick shout out to my friends, the Three Geeks Podcast. They have some great content, and it's available at their website, threegeeks.ninja. That's right. It's not a .com or .edu or .gov. It is .ninja, because that's called marketing, folks. It makes you stand out. Nonetheless, they got a lot of great stuff going on over there. Please check them out. They also help out the PVDcast quite a bit by rebroadcasting episodes of course, this podcast and the sister podcast, Matt Talk. All right, with that, I've rambled on and on. It's time to close up shop, so I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you one more time for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous and stay independent. Production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2021.